China Corner is proudly brought to you by the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in Namibia.
Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to this evening's session of the China Corner here on your number one talk radio station, this being Eagle FM. And as what we always do on the first week of the new month, every Wednesday, we engage with the various aspects in terms of Namibia and China's relationship, as well as also looking at the unique relationship that has sprung up from this particular engagement. Tonight's edition sees us engage with three business entities specifically from Chinese origin who have played a pivotal part in economic development in Namibia's consideration. Firstly, taking a look at the ICT sector. Secondly, taking a look at a perspective from road construction and works construction for that matter. And lastly, looking at what is turning out to be Namibia's largest particular gem in terms of uranium mining and the particular role and partnership Namibia and China have played in this particular endeavors. Firstly, we'll be joined in the studios, as highlighted by the discussions that you will hear, dear listeners, with three particular business executives coming through from the various spheres mentioned. We have Madam Shui Yan from the ICT company Huawei Namibia, providing us with the insight in terms of overview, as well as also the various roles that Huawei has played in the Namibian landscape for ICT development. We speak to Mr. Tui Yunker from Chico, the specific construction company that helps us understand with the various roadworks developments, as well as also the particular developments and benefits that have been accrued from this particular development. And finally, we speak to Mr. Irvin Simata from Husab Mine, who helps us understand the particular value that uranium mining has provided, as well as also some of the unique community developments that have taken place in recent years. For that, stay tuned and buckle up, as well as also join us on this particular engagement to understand in a deep dive the business-to-business relationship or the business-to-community relationship in the Namibian landscape. Join us in this evening's show of the China Corner as we get to a deeper understanding with regards to, firstly, the community development, the community involvement, the larger economic participation, as well as also the broader economic development taking place in the country. On that note, stay tuned for more in this evening session of China Corner.
All right, and welcoming everyone here to the Wednesday edition of China Corner, and specifically, as we always do, the first Wednesday in every month, we have the particular discussion where we engage in terms of everything regarding Namibia and China's relationship throughout the broader applications of everyday life, as well as also some of the particular conversations that pop up and also provide us with better understanding or an opportunity for better understanding. Joining us today here on this Wednesday edition, we've got we're joined by Madam Shu Han from Huawei, by Mr. Tsui Yunker from Chico, and Mr. Irvin Simata online from Husab Mine directly. All three guests, welcome, guys. Thank you for taking the time. And it's going to be an exciting conversation.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
And starting off with our discussion, guys, if we take a particular look, obviously, in this edition of China Corner, we're obviously going to be looking at the particular relationship of Chinese companies in Namibia. And just to start it off, could you guys provide an overview of each of the corporations that you represent, business operations in Namibia, and the related projects that Namibians would have seen in recent years, or even over the span by which you would have been present in Namibia?
Huawei Technologies Namibia has been a significant contributor to the country's ICT sector since 2005. Our local office is comprised of 75 local staff, and our mission is to connect everyone in Namibia and help to build a fully connected, intelligent nation. For the past 20 years, we have collaborated closely with government, teleoperators, and also private sectors to advance digital infrastructure. Today, Huawei's technology serves over 80% of Namibia's population, which accounts to almost 2 million people. Our work includes telecom network infrastructures. Huawei helped to build Namibia's first 4G network and led Africa's first 4.5G demonstration right here in Namibia. We continue to support 3G, 4G, and now 5G already rolls out with local teleoperators. Second part is about enterprise ICT solutions. We are driving digital transformation in industries like energy, mining, education, and so on. Third part is education skill development. Our Seeds for Future program and Huawei ICT Academics at UNAM and NUST continue to equip young Namibians with globally recognized ICT skills. Last but not least, renewable energy and green ICT, innovative solutions of sustainable energy to promote environmentally friendly digital development.
And over to you, Mr. Tsui, if we look at the particular role also that Chico has played, or an overview so far of Chico.
Thank you. China-Henan International Corporation, with the short name of Chico, is a SOE under Henan Province of People's Republic of China. Chico established its subsidiary in Namibia in 2007 as the first Chinese road contractor. Up to now, the company has successfully completed 28 projects, including roads, bridges, and railways with a length of 2,100 kilometers across Namibia. Maybe please allow me to mention some of the roads you might be familiar with, like Lundu to Nkulunkuru, Okanya to Karibe Phase 2, Sumeb to Katwitui Section C, Ochinene to Okamatapati, and Okamatapati to Hurfontein. Thus, in the south, we built the road from Kitmanshoop to Malientul, especially the section from Hibian to Tses. And currently, we are busy with the road rehabilitation from Lundu to Divendu.
And over to you, Mr. Simate. If we also have a look primarily at the overview in terms of HUSUP's participation in Namibia and operations.
Yeah, thank you very much to yourself and your listeners. Maybe just to give you a sense of who we are. Swakop Uranium Pty Ltd is a jointly owned Namibian mining company owned by China General Nuclear Power Corporation through a company called Taurus Minerals, which is a state-owned entity of the People's Republic of China. And then, of course, Pangelo, which is also a Namibian state-owned enterprise here in Namibia. HUSUP, which is the asset that is wholly owned by Swakop Uranium Pty Ltd, is the largest uranium mine, open pit uranium mine in the world on date. And we are also the third largest uranium producing entity globally, placing Namibia safely at number three since 2022 in terms of global uranium production. We are a conventional open pit, and we use, of course, the conventional truck and shovel mining systems to move in excess of 120 million tons of rock. That is four times than your average Namibian mining house at present. Our primary product is uranium oxide, which we call U308, and this is obviously a product of the complex hydrometallurgical process that involves crushing, peeling, leaching, ion exchange, and so on, to be able to recover uranium from the uranium-bearing rock out here in the Irongo. The company itself employs in excess of 4,600 people, direct and indirect. This makes up about 23% of the workforce employed within the mining sector. So we are a significant employer within the mining sector. Moreover, we also account for a significant proportion of procurement locally. Of the 23, 24 billion Namibian dollars of procurement executed within the mining sector in Namibia last year, HUSUP accounted for 7 billion of that particular amount. And therefore, we're actually a significant contributor to the GDP of Namibia. In terms of our vision, we obviously aim to be the world, I mean, a world-class Namibian uranium producer. And to be able to achieve that, we aim to build a world-class Namibian uranium mining company with a strong focus on sustainability, social responsibility, profitability, operational excellence, and then human capital development. In essence, for your viewers to have an appreciation, we remain the largest Chinese investment in the Southern Hemisphere at $5 billion US in terms of acquisition and construction of this particular asset. Our growth will continue with projects that are online, such as the envisaged desalination plant that we hope to build in the next few months, the expansion of our current mine with the Husab heap leach plant, which we hope to construct by next year, and then, of course, the expanded exploration project. We hope to add anything between 1,000 to 2,000 jobs to the current workforce, which is quite significant. We remain the benchmark of mining, not only in country, but the world over, and hope we continue to contribute to the sector and the country as a whole. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Irvin, for that particular overview right there. And thank you as well also, Hannah and Mr. Tui, in terms of just laying the particular foundation for this evening's particular discussion. Focusing specifically on you, Hannah, in terms of Huawei. With Namibia's recent adoption of the 5G technology, what does Huawei play in this, what role does Huawei play in this strategy specifically? And can we see an improvement in the digital services that allow for other business activities to be conducted?
Thank you very much. That's a very good question. Huawei is a key partner in Namibia's journey towards 5G, contributing significantly to the country's telecommunications development. Our collaborations with Namibian operators has laid a strong foundation for 5G, following the successful rollout of 4G and 4.5G. The 5G rollout will bring various benefits, such as enhanced digital services. Ultra-fast speed and low latency will improve the services across different sectors, such as e-learning, e-health, banking, logistics, and so on. And also, industry growth. 5G facilitates technologies like IoT and artificial intelligence. It will boost the efficiency and safety in the industries, such as mining and agriculture. And it also empowers SMEs and entrepreneurs. Business can leverage cloud computing and data solutions to overcome the connectivity challenges. At the same time, it will also boost the digital economy. 5G will foster innovation and create job opportunities and also diversify the economy. Last is improving the public services. It will give more support for the smart city initiatives and also enhance access to government public services. In essence, 5G can offer a pathway to unlock economic potentials across all sectors. Huawei is committed to helping Namibia harness the benefit of this transformative technology for all citizens.
And then heading over to you, Mr. Tui, if we take a look primarily at Chico's particular role, the recent completed road project in Kavango East that helped connect communities and bring transport connectivity to people, are there many such instances that you have played a part in connectivity by road construction, and how are local Namibians involved in these construction projects?
Thank you very much for the question. Last October, Chico completed several roads in Kavango East region. They consist of the Amtara bitumen road in town and 11 gravel roads connecting over 10 villages to Luendu. I prefer calling them village-to-village connectivity projects. Spanning a total length of 13 kilometers, these projects have improved local road conditions and opened new opportunities for local economic development. They established connections between villages, schools, hospitals, and markets, enhancing living conditions for local residents while attracting more investors and tourists. I have been invited for a barbecue by a farmer who lived close to the settlement of Kansosi. you know, 5 kilometers away from Lundu town.
Mm.
The new roads has shortened the distance and smoothened the logistics between the farmers' goods and the open market. Additionally, he's also employed by the company as a driver. So both of the engagements have significantly increased the income and promoted the living conditions of the whole family. The braai was so delicious, not only because of the good taste of meat in Namibia, you know, local is lekker, but also the joy with my Namibian brother, who literally benefit from the roads that were built by our Chinese friends. Thank you.
And thank you very much for the braai reference right there. Obviously not trying to make people hungry with a lovely braai. Heading over to you, Irvin, in terms of obviously looking at the sizzling nature of our conversation, besides the braais, you know, I don't want to have us deviate, but if we look at specifically in Husab's case, what has been the skills capacity of local Namibians to participate in the uranium mining dimension? And can Namibia learn something from China in nuclear energy development in that particular part?
Simply put, the skills capacity of local Namibians to participate within the uranium dimension has been immense. Now elaborate on that. And yes, to answer the question as to whether or not there is something to be learned in terms of the nuclear energy development in China, certainly a lot to be learned. At Swakop Uranium, we recognize that developing local skills and capabilities is obviously key to sustaining our world-class operations. Our focus on localization and the continuous upskilling of Namibian employees across all levels has been accelerated in the last couple of years. As you might be aware, from construction to ramping up the assets to now stability, currently about 96% of our workforce at Husab Mine are actually Namibian citizens, with the majority occupying technical and supervisory roles and the likes. We have established a structured programs, particularly as it relates to key skills development. One of those is the graduate training programs that focus on developing technical professionals such as engineers, geologists, metallurgists, and other specialists such as radiation specialists, which are required within the mining industry, particularly in uranium. We have had to do this in collaboration with the universities locally and with some supplementation from universities in China. In fact, I would like to quote in that the collaboration with UNAM, MUST, and the vocational centers around us has yielded, number one, in the last 3 years, we have been able to train about 50 graduate engineers, the majority of whom have now substantively joined our workforce in their respective areas. Number two, we've also supported a bursary program that has produced in excess of 25 graduates who have sent to school and they have come back, and the majority of them are now in our employ. At the moment, we have a policy with the vocational training centers wherein about 80 artisans are absorbed on a yearly basis for apprenticeship and training, and the majority of whom eventually take up substantive positions within Swakop Uranium itself. So from that perspective, I think we have demonstrated that Swakop Uranium indeed has moved from being the traditional organization that only looks at bursaries, but also looking at the unemployed youth that are on the streets that we can then enroll and prepare not only for ourselves, but for the industry. What I must highlight to you is that we have seen great success in this particular program in that some of the graduates we took off the street and trained and basically contracted and wanted to train for 3 years were taken up by other mines within a space of 2 years, which is testament to the quality that we have developed. And that is the path that we will continue to take. I must highlight to you, in the recent statistics, it has been said that about 19,000 Namibian graduates with degrees remain unemployed. Husab is going to be very intentional about assisting government and the nation at large to be able to absorb, train and prepare those graduates for a better future in the industry or any other sectors that they may want to choose.
And thank you very much, Irvin, on that particular point as well. We get into, once again, where all three of us, or all three of you, including me, will be also asking on the particular question of beyond mutual economic benefits. Once again, starting off with you, Hanna, if we look at this particular perspective, beyond the mutual economic benefits, what achievements have Huawei made in fulfilling corporate social responsibility here? And like the skills training or the increasing of the value added of products?
Yeah, our philosophy is very simple. In Namibia, we are not just a business partner. We are part of the community. Our CSR programs focus on digital skills, education, and sustainabilities. Here are a few highlights. For talent development, our Seeds for Future program has trained over 150 Namibian students in advanced ICT and cultural exchange. Our Huawei ICT Academic at UNAM and NUST provide free world-class certification training to students nationwide. For community development, from 2018, in partnership with MTC, we donated $5 million Namibia dollar to the Buy a Break initiative to build low-cost houses for Namibian. In 2019, we contribute to drought relief efforts, donating $300,000 to the National Emergency Disaster Fund. From 2020 to 2024, we've supported various education and community projects, including Intuda School, NUST ICT College. In 2024, through a conductive partnership with the government and the Ministry of Basic Education, Huawei is actively advancing inclusive education by providing essential smart classroom equipment to enhance the learning environment. To support national talent cultivation, Huawei is proud to have sponsored the National Mega Hackathon 2025, organized by MSCT. This is an initiative aimed to promote digital innovation and improve government services. All of this effort reflect Huawei's long-term commitment to uplifting communities and empowering Namibian youth through digital knowledge and opportunities.
And heading over to you, Mr. Tsui, specifically, if we look at Chico's particular role in not just going beyond the mutual economic benefits, but what achievements has Chico made in fulfilling corporate social responsibilities, also which includes or would be like skills training and the increment or the increasing of value added of products?
Thank you very much for the question. Actually, it's Chico's policy to fulfill social responsibilities, which is also updated as ESG now. Since 2007, Chico has conducted over 30 donations or public service activities to schools, communities, and other organizations covering 10 regions in Namibia. The company has set up a soccer team named Namchi in Grootfontein. Namchi means Namibia and China. And I'm very proud to declare that in every project that Chico has engaged with, the company is dedicated to job creation, skill transfer, SME promotion, especially in youth and female empowerment. I would like to share another story with you. This lady called Margaret Siwama. She's from Mupungu, Kavango West, and she's the employee of Chico since 2012, after she completed grade 9. Initially, she worked as a domestic worker in the camp. You know, the working experience in the kitchen really motivated her interests in Chinese cuisine. Yeah. And thanks to the on-the-job training policy of the company, she started to learn Chinese cuisine from Chinese chefs in 2014. She was so committed and passionate that she memorized every Chinese chef's recipe, which you know is highly confidential for them. Now she can cook more than 20 different cans of Chinese food, including cold and hot dishes, noodles, hot pots, and even dumplings independently. She's now the executive chef at Chico's Divendu camp. I'm not very sure whether she's the first professional female Chinese food chef in Namibia. Well, I hope so, and I will be very proud of. But she's not only the local chef in Chico. Mm. We have another three, and they are all female Namibian. Thank you very much.
And obviously, you know, but to avoid anything regarding the food, which are actually very good examples, if we head over to you, Irvin, in terms of the same particular question for Husab, beyond the mutual economic benefits, what achievements have you made in fulfilling CSR or corporate social responsibility, and which would include things like skills training, increasing the value added of the products, and in that particular line?
Oh, thank you very much. I think it is important in the first instance to state that our view on social responsibility is that, firstly, we would like to earn our social license to operate. Given that we are embedded in a thriving community, it is our responsibility to identify areas of mutual cooperation intended, of course, to uplift the communities around us and nationally. So that is the approach that we take. Now, the journey of Husab over the last 10 years, from commissioning to ramp up to stabilizing the operation, is synonymous to how we have also gone about investing in our communities. But I think, to cut the long story short, what I can inform you is that Husab in the last 10 years has spent north of 70 million in our communities. In fact, to be able to effectively channel the assistance to the communities, we have established the Swakop Uranium Foundation, whose sole responsibility is to identify poverty alleviating projects, work generating activity, and indeed projects related to lifting the vulnerable of the society out of poverty. In essence, at the moment, we've got five key projects that we focus on. The first one, and most relevant for our country, being a very, very endowed with natural lands that are susceptible to agriculture, we call it the Hope Farm Project. The Hope Farm Project is intended to create an opportunity to replenish livestock in all the regions of the country. And this particular project has actually been kicked off in the Rongo region. We have already supplied in the region of 630 goats, and we are in the process of executing another 378 goats. So effectively, we would have supplied about 1,000 goats to three community entities that have in total of about 50 farmers, and the intention being to be able to supply them with livestock and then giving the opportunity able to do the farming, which is the subsistence that they live on. The one beautiful story about this particular project is that it is a revolving fund where the company makes a commitment to the locals and to the local communities, and the communities also make a commitment to the company in the form that whereas we supply a certain number of goats, it is expected that the first harvest of those goats is shared with us so that we can provide almost the same equal number to another community member. In that way, we can then alleviate the hardships from a poverty perspective of an entire community within the region, which we started with in the Rongo, and then, of course, all the other regions that we will get to in a short while. So our commitment to this particular agricultural project is that for the next 10 years, we will buy small livestock, goats and sheep, for each and every region to replicate this particular program. And we hope that we can then induce the resurgence of agriculture, Namibia being an agricultural country. The second one has to do with identifying challenges in and around water. As you might be aware, we are a water-scarce country. And Swakop Uranium has taken the approach that we will identify vulnerable communities, and we will fund the drilling of boreholes to be able to supply water to those communities, with the hope that then that water will then generate activities such as gardens, etc., etc. In fact, the upcoming desalination plant that we are creating a joint venture with NamWater is a typical example where us as Swakop Uranium, in mitigating our risk, which is water, and I must highlight, we are not in the water business, we are in the uranium mining business. However, we have taken the approach that in mitigating our risk, we might as well invest in a project that also alleviates the hardships of a huge populace. And you might be aware in the Rongo region, the Daura's constituency, Uis, Omaru, are water exchange. And we hope that that particular project will then help the municipalities from that perspective. The third one has to do with education. We believe that a prosperous nation is dependent on high literacy. And therefore, we have invested millions of that 70 million I mentioned into the schools to be able to drive the right sort of learning culture in those particular schools. Last but not least, we have taken a view that investment in environmental protection initiatives, either through research, either funding activities intended to grow or protect a species, are certainly those that would help us to achieve the green agenda that we have as a nuclear company. I must mention that since 2 years ago, a nuclear mine or nuclear energy has been declared a green energy, and therefore we would like to feed into that particular perspective. So I think, to make it simple, Tropical Uranium Social Investment Strategy is steeped in NDP 6, in Vision 2030, and certainly recognizes the need for the SDGs as identified by the United Nations. And I think thus far, through our foundation, we have had major success. While I've mentioned the success of recent, I must also highlight to you that during the most difficult time of this country, which was the COVID pandemic, Swakop Uranium stepped up when it was required by the community and government. And I can inform you that we provided the funding for the acquisition of the oxygen, which was a commodity of higher need during that time, and we provided for the oxygen to hospitals within the Rongo region. Moreover, we also procured equipment required to sustain life and patients during COVID, the COVID period. Now, you've asked about social investment, but if you allow me, I would like to go over and above the social investment, because we truly believe that the value is created by teaching the community to fish instead of giving them the fish. Now, I have highlighted that Swakop Uranium accounts for 7 billion of the 24 billion in local procurement that the mining industry executes on an annual basis. Now, to qualify that number, I would also like to say that 2.5 billion of that 7 billion is actually to state-owned entities that provide us with water, electricity, and then, of course, the fuel for our mega equipment. The 5 billion or just under 5 billion is directly to local businesses. Swakop Uranium has a particular preference for local suppliers in terms of goods, and our supply strategy, our supply or procurement strategy, is tailored to first recognize as local suppliers before we look at the outside suppliers. In terms of skills transfer, not only have we been absorbing artisans from NIMT and the rest of the vocational training centers, but we have also encouraged the same vocational graduates to be able to start their own businesses and be able to supply HUSA with the skills that they have as employers, not as employees. I can highlight to you that at the moment, we have in excess of 400 suppliers to this business. And we hope that through our intentional SME development, we will have a lot of these graduates out of vocational centers being employers instead of employees. In terms of value addition, we do encourage joint venturing within local suppliers to be able to provide us either with technology or with alternatives, particularly in high-cost areas of our business. And we are very ready to cooperate and collaborate to assist them to be able to develop and procure this technology so that they can provide a service to us. What is of interest and what you might be interested in is that we do have internally a system of monitoring local suppliers in terms of participation, in terms of their performance, in terms of their spend trends. And this ensures that we continuously improve on driving the local spend agenda and certainly also drive accountability on those that have already been onboarded. Ultimately, we want to drive inclusive growth, transparency, and of course, responsible supply chain governance within this particular ecosystem that is Swakop Uranium. And I hope to be open and fair with you to say that we are open for business And of course, we look forward to assisting Namibian entrepreneurs realize their dreams.
Thank you very much, Irvin. And just a slight question I'd like to ask in terms of like the livestock discussion, in terms of where the CSR program also helps to try and boost local production in the agricultural sector. Can you just help us understand, for me and the listeners primarily, what was the motivation behind, you know, targeting a specific sector that probably is not always aligned with the mining sector or even with uranium mining for that matter?
No, thank you very much. I think it's a very valid question. And I want to nuance the question by saying this. In the recently concluded a public-private partnership discussion with the head of state, our very capable excellency, Honorable Netumbo Ndandi-Dwaita, she outlined her priorities for Namibia. And those priorities are driven by the fact that, number one, these sectors have the highest potential of creating employment. And the number one priority that she did highlight was agriculture. That is the first thing. The second thing is that history will show that given the droughts that have hit Namibia in the last 5 years, regions such as the Erongo were hard hit. And effectively what had then happened is that there was minimum subsistence form of livelihood of our communities was then impacted. And this resulted either in the migration of individuals to town seeking for bigger opportunities, and then, of course, leaving our elderly population to languish in our most villages. So when we did our assessment, we were of the view that given the improvement in the rain conditions and given the opportunity that exists purely from a self-sustenance and job creation perspective, we felt strongly that this was the sector that would create the most value in terms of the spend. And therefore, at the onset, we were very clear and we did our math. And I must tell you that even the expense that we spent 3 million now on about 1,000 boats. Mm. And when we look at the return on investment, at the last count, we had already improved the number of the head by 15% within a space of 4 months. And therefore, it is proven that this way of teaching the people how to fish instead of giving them the fish is a much more sustainable intervention going into the future. We are absolutely sure that next year kids will be able to be clothed because of the value that's generated from this. Kids will be able to be taken to school because of the value that's generated out of this. And our elderly, particularly women farmers who benefited the most, will be able to take care of their households as they've always been able to do time immemorial. So we feel that this particular intervention generates much more value and adds to government's agenda in this top priority, which is agriculture. Now, it is also important to say when the president identified agriculture as a priority, she also identified enablers of this priority. And the number one enabler, she was very clear on that particular one, is that she felt that mining was a number one enabler. Now, you asked the question as to why is it that a mining company would be interested in a farming project. Mm. Yes, we are a mining company, but ultimately we earn our social license by our ability to lift the communities that host us and the nation at large out of poverty. And therefore, the agriculture being a priority and mining being an enabler, we can create a bridge of prosperity together. And that's the reason why we have gotten involved in that particular aspect.
100%, 100%. Thank you for that expansion, Irvin. Because obviously, you know, I'm this close to becoming hungry from Mr. Tui's particular explainer of the Chinese cuisine and the braai. Into also the farming aspect of things, I'm sort of like sitting in the hard place here, guys. Don't worry, we are almost in terms of getting to the full-on conclusion of our discussion. Coming back to you once again, Hannah, and starting off with you again. If we take a look at the aspect in terms of, in your perspective, do we see more potential for Namibia-China practical cooperation in related areas? And how can it be of better benefit to both sides?
Yes, sure. Especially in the ICT sector, the potential for deeper practical cooperation between Namibia and China is immense, especially in technology innovation and digital transformation. As a Chinese global company rooted in Namibia, Huawei is proud to act as a bridge for collaboration. Areas of growing cooperations including digital infrastructure expansion, smart and green technologies, research and education, and artificial intelligence, which is buzzword, but we bring it to reality. Mm-hmm. Those partnerships are mutually beneficial, helping Namibia to accelerate digital transformation and giving both countries opportunities for sustainable and inclusive growth. And we are bringing Chinese and global experience to Namibia.
Thank you. Thank you once again. And switching over to you, Mr. Tui, I hope there's no more food references because you're busy making me hungry. But if we look at the same particular perspective, in your perspective, do we see more potential for Namibia-China practical cooperation in related areas? And how can it be of better benefit to both sides?
Thank you very much. In my private point of view, Namibia has a potential and a bright future, which shall be an exemplary model in the continent. The Belt and Road Initiative proposed by Chinese government and the 6th National Development Plan raised by Namibian government have provided guidance to the win-win cooperation between the two sister countries. Infrastructure sector shall be the first priority. You know, there is a saying in China, say, 要想富先修路, means road construction paves the way to economic prosperity. Mm. So the roads really serve as the cornerstone of economic growth. The key sectors in Namibia, including mining, energy, agriculture, and tourism, have the stringent requirements for infrastructure development. It can also boost employment, enhance people's well-being, and improve the accessibility of public services, such as healthcare and education. And among the positive efforts and the achieved milestones, the local content, including local procurement, technical training, skill transfer, and SME promotion, shall also play a more and more critical role in the engagement. Meanwhile, in my opinion, the two nations shall also enhance the cooperation in manufacturing industry and agriculture sector, including meat, so that Namibia could establish its own independent industrial system and guarantee food supply security and safety. Thank you very much.
100%. Over to you, Irvin, specifically, if we also take a look at the same particular perspective. In your perspective, do we see more potential for Namibia-China practical cooperation in the related areas, and how can it be of better benefit to both sides?
I certainly echo the sentiments expressed by my two colleagues on the other end. In fact, I would want to say that the convergence of NDP6 and the One Belt, One Road initiative of China offers the greatest opportunity to propel Namibia into the next industrial stage. Why do I say this? From a mining perspective, it is now common knowledge that Namibia is the world's leading uranium producer. We are the third largest producing country in the world. It is also common knowledge that China is among the largest consumers, but also most advanced countries in terms of nuclear energy production. Now, Namibia-China Uranium Corporation has the great potential to assist one Namibia in transitioning from being a resource extraction country to strategically becoming a clean energy and sustainable development partner. That is the huge opportunity that that we've got from this particular relationship. And again, I want to emphasize the aspirations of NDP6 of Namibia aligned and aggressively pursued with the One Belt, One Road initiative of China, of which the Husab mine owned by Swakop Uranium is literally the exemplified enterprise coming out of this initiative, certainly holds the greatest potential to unlocking Namibia's prosperity. Now, there are key areas that I'd like to highlight, you know, if you allow me just a little bit. I'll not elaborate, but just, you know, seeing that we are short on time. Firstly, from a value addition and local processing perspective, China has got the capacity industrially and technically to provide coaching and assistance to Namibia, hence realizing a higher export value for the goods that Namibia actually does export this particular point in time. So there is definitely one potential way in around value addition and local processing. Number two is clean energy integration, not only in mining operations, but as a country strategy. The president, our president, Her Excellency Netumbo Dembelila, has announced that Namibia has got intentions to certainly pursue nuclear energy. China is both on the supply and the demand stage, and they've got advanced nuclear energy, and certainly could be a partner that we could leverage to be able to introduce that. In terms of renewables, again, in terms of solar, wind, and other alternative renewable energies, there is much that could be gained from these particular relationships. As we know, that China has been aggressively pursuing carbon neutrality, and therefore Namibia could leverage that particular aspect. Skills grant development and technological transfer. I do not need to elaborate on that. As we all know, we lack in areas such as nuclear science. China has abundance. They have developed over time. We could learn even in areas of agriculture, because China has gotten advanced in terms of efficient use of land. Environmental stewardship. What I can tell your listeners is that, believe you me, China, from an environmental protection perspective, having been China and experienced China firsthand, is much more advanced from a technological perspective and the conservation perspective. There is much that we can learn from each other. Infrastructure and community development, I need not repeat what Mr. Charles has already highlighted in terms of how roads can bring economic prosperity to villages, how the transport system that works can introduce better business and of course reinforce a country's future development, etc., etc. And there could be other possibilities as well, such as the SME development. What we lack in this country is innovation at the lowest of levels to be able to support bigger industries. And I think countries such as China have moved significantly in that particular space, that there is indeed a lot that we would learn in that particular. But overall, I would call for leveraging the aspirations of both countries with what is known as gaps, and then, of course, working together to then ensure that our countries are both prosperous. There's definitely huge potential between the aspirations that we have in NDP 6 or Vision 2030 and the One Belt, One Road initiative of China. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And just before we actually say our goodbyes and our good evenings, if there's still anything else that you guys would like to add before we say our good evenings, from you, Hannah, from you, Mr. Tsui, and from you, Irvin, you all have the chance to say something, a final word for that matter.
Yeah, sure. On behalf of Huawei, actually, we are committed to Namibia's digital transformation journey. We all continue to support local talent, innovation, and also strengthen the country's ICT foundation. Together with our clients and partners, we believe Namibia will not only keep pace with global technology trends, but every Namibian benefits from the power of digital technologies. That's what I want to see. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And on your side, Mr. Tsui?
Thank you very much. I'd like to fulfill this opportunity to say that when you are driving on the beautiful roads in Namibia, don't forget that it's not only the road built by the Chinese, but also it's the road built by our Namibian brothers with a lot of SME and the local employees. So enjoy the road and also drive safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And then to your side, Irvin, just a final word from your side in terms of just your goodbyes and last word for this evening's show.
Yeah, firstly, thank you for giving us this opportunity to share with your viewers and listeners just about who we are. And then secondly, we equally commit to continuing to be the mainstay of the Namibian mining sector, Sokop Uranium. We certainly look forward to being the model enterprise for the One Belt, One Road China initiative. And certainly we look forward to continuing to add great impetus to our host communities and transforming their lives in ways unimaginable and, of course, for the greater prosperity of the nation. We are alive to the fact that the priorities from the current administration is in and around job creation, local procurement, driving local procurement to build local industry, and ensuring that every Namibian child is educated. And Swakop Uranium is fully on board to assist with those priorities. And thank you very much.
100%. Once again, thank you all for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners. And thank you for taking the time in terms of just sharing the broader picture. On that particular note, good evening and goodbye, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now coming back from that particular engagement right there, dear listeners, obviously you heard the particular insights in terms of the developments as well as also some of the other particular aspects in terms of the various projects and CSR engagement. And this is obviously as we cite and just in the last sort of like two and a half minutes, the importance in terms of the various discussions taking place here. Now you've obviously heard, you've obviously been with us here on the China Corner. In terms of being here with us on the China Corner, as well as also hearing some of the first-hand particular developments taking place across the country, heading into what is now technically our end for this particular session. We'll be saying our goodbyes and ultimately seeing you once again in the same edition or in the same particular slot at the end of this month here on the China Corner. And once again, stay tuned for the next program that'll follow on after the particular break itself. On that note, dear listeners, stay tuned for the rest of your programming in our company. We'll see each other again, same time, same place.